The reading today is from John chapter 4, and it's on page 1066 in your pew Bible. And we're reading verses 1 to 10 and then 27 to 42. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more people, more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learnt of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gifts of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Verse 27. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, "What do you want, or why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of your labor." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Amen.
Is this a passage in John 4 that we did some time ago, I think? But I thought it would be really useful for this morning. This was part of Jesus' mission. He had to go through, this text says he had to go through Samaria. And I remember at the time we thought about that. What does that mean? He had to go through Samaria. He didn't have to. There's lots of other ways to get from A to B. He didn't have to go through Samaria. And as you might know, Jews and Samaritans just didn't get along together very well. There was a cultural conflict. They had history, and it had gone on for generations. They just did not like each other. Now, whenever we think about a Samaritan, what's the word that we would think about to describe a Samaritan? Good, don't we? Because we think about the good Samaritan, which is a real shock to the people that Jesus was talking to. Because, as I say, there was this conflict. They just did not get on, and they avoided each other like the plague. But it says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. Why did he have to? Well, he was on a mission. He was going to do some harvesting. That was his mission. That had always been his mission. And that is why he goes to Samaria. And he meets this lady by the well. You know the story. It was noon, the hardest part of the day. He's at the well. This lady comes along, which tells us something about her, because people wouldn't have gone in the hottest part of the day. They'd gone in the cool of the day. But she went knowing that there'd be nobody else there. And she had a history. She had 5 husbands. And she was living with a man that was not her husband. So I don't know what her history was or what that felt like, but it was not good full of disappointment, full of searching, full of whatever. But she had had five husbands, and she comes to the well to get water with her bucket. I suppose in a way it's representative of her life. She comes to find water that she keeps needing to replace, because she's always thirsty. That's human nature. We need to keep drinking. We need to keep looking. And there's an ongoingness there. There's an unsettledness there. But Jesus is going to offer her something she's never had before. He's going to offer her water that she won't have to drink again, which seems crazy, and it seemed crazy to her. What do you mean I'll never thirst again? He said, I'm going to give you something that's just going to quench your thirst. You've been searching. You've been looking for love in all the right places, all the wrong places, looking for identity or purpose. She's looking, looking, looking. Can't find it. And that's really human nature, isn't it? We try to seek. We try to seek something. We come to the well of riches or power or success or bodily pleasures or whatever it is. We have to keep coming back to that well over and over again, because nothing really satisfies. Everything leaves us lacking. There's something missing. And so people like us keep coming to the well with our bucket, but the bucket always leaks. And so we keep coming back over and over and over again. But Jesus has come to the well. Where's his disciples? They've gone shopping. Maybe they've gone to Tesco. Maybe they've gone to Four Star Pizza. Maybe they've gone to Avoca to get something really flashy. One of those lovely salads. But they're thinking about their stomach. Jesus is thinking about something different. He's on a mission. He's come to harvest. But they've gone shopping. And then they come back. And they're totally surprised, shocked to find him talking to a woman. Because this was not the done thing. Remember, he's a man, she's a woman. He's a rabbi, she's a woman. She's a Samaritan, he's a Jew. Everything about this says no. They're shocked, but they don't say anything. Just at that point, it says, she leaves her bucket and she goes back into town. Many commentators see that as kind of representative of, it's a kind of leaving your old way of life. Leaving all that disappointment behind, because she's found something better, greater. She goes into her town of Sychar to tell the people. People that she would try to avoid normally, but she's gone into the town to tell them. The disciples then say to Jesus, they don't say to him, what were you talking to that woman about? What was going on here? We don't leave you for a moment, but you're getting into trouble. But no, they say, Rabbi, have something to eat. We have brought the pizza. We have brought the salads. Have something to eat. This is just kind of, let's ignore just what we have seen and just let's have something to eat. Remember, the disciples are thinking about their stomachs as opposed to Jesus, who's on a mission, a harvest mission. But Jesus says, I have got food that you don't know about. They whisper among themselves, what's he doing? Has someone else brought him some sandwiches? Did he bring a packed lunch and didn't tell us? What is going on here? You see, they're thinking about their stomach. Jesus is thinking about the harvest. I've got food that you know nothing about. I've got food that you know nothing about. Verse 32. They just didn't get it. They're completely preoccupied with worldly things, which are important in their own way, but if those things get in the way of the harvest, that's not good. They're thinking about the ordinary things of life. They're preoccupied by the ordinary things of life. Does that describe anybody in here today? Maybe me. Maybe you. Completely preoccupied by these things that are important, but our total focus of what the food represents. It could mean anything. But something that takes us away from the mission that Jesus wants them to be a part of. Be harvesters. Where did you get this food, Lord? And then he said in verse 35, do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? Must have been a saying that they had. This was an agricultural society. 4 months more, and then the harvest. Do you say that? Do you ever say that? Oh, 4 months more and then the harvest. Jim, 4 months more and then... We don't say those kind of things, do we? Because we don't live in that kind of world. I didn't hear that, but please be quiet, Jim, okay? You had your turn all those years ago. No, thanks, Jim. But yeah, we don't live in an agricultural society, most of us. We go to Tesco or Supervalue or somewhere to buy our food. We lift it off the shelf, we put it in the basket, we take it home, we put it in the cupboard, we put it in the fridge, and we eat it. We don't think about the process, how the earth gives us these wonderful gifts. We just enjoy them. We don't think about the giver. We just accept that's the way they are. Isn't that amazing? But just think, isn't that amazing? People are kept alive by the earth. What it grows, what it provides, the rain that falls, the seed that grow. Wouldn't have had your toast this morning if not for the earth. Your milk this morning if not for the earth. Your fruit and yogurt if it were not for the earth. Sometimes I'm on a health craze. But mostly not. Isn't that an amazing thing that the earth produces everything we need to keep us alive? This is a gift from God. But we don't live in a society like that. But these people would have said 4 months more and then the harvest. But then look what Jesus says. You say 4 months more and then the harvest, but look. Look, he says, open your eyes. And what did they see? What is he on about? Peter, do you know what he's talking about? He says, open your eyes and look. What am I seeing? What was he seeing? What were they seeing? They were seeing Samaria. The place that they didn't really want to go through. The people that they didn't really get on with. And the woman had gone to the town and told the people about this Jesus, who she suspects is the one that they're looking for, the Christ. She says, he's told me everything I've done with my life. He didn't actually, did he? But he got to the heart of who she was. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with is not your husband. But I can give you something that will scratch where you itch. It will hit the spot, and you won't thirst again. And these people are coming towards the disciples and Jesus says, open your eyes and look. And what did they see? People that they thought were their enemy. Remember, we've been looking at Jonah over the last number of weeks, which is an amazing story. I've loved Jonah. What did God ask him to do? Go to Nineveh. Did he want to go there? No, he did not. But God could have said to Jonah, open your eyes. What do you see? Harvest. Look at these people. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're dissatisfied. This is the harvest. That's what they saw. As we look around, what do we see in our lives, in our town, in our workplaces? What do we see? As we look at Greystones, which is growing, 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 what do we see? Do we see a harvest? A field ripe for harvesting? As you go into your work or you work with your colleagues and there's some people you like and some people you don't really like and you'd rather avoid, what do you see? Do you see harvest? As you look around your neighborhood and there's some people you know and many people you don't, do you see a harvest? As you look at your family, your extended family, do you see harvest? Jesus says, open your eyes. What do you see? Here was a harvest. The harvest is everywhere. The world is full of people who are coming to the well, but their buckets leak. And we who believe, who follow Jesus, have got water that we can share that they will never thirst again. That really hits the spot. Jesus. But what Jesus wanted from those disciples was co-workers. In Matthew, he said to them, look at the fields, they're white under harvest, but the laborers are so few. So what was the solution? Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers out into the field. The word that's used there in Greek is a very powerful word. Let's pray that God will throw these people out, shove these people out, demand that they people go. That was the solution, to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And that's what he asks of you and me, too. He says, what do you see? Pray. Because the world is full of fields that are white, that are ready for harvesting. He's gathering his people in. His kingdom is growing. His church is extending. What do we see as we look around? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so that we can see as you see, so that we can be as you be, so that we can do as you do. That was their challenge. It's ours challenge too. Proverbs 10 says this, he who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Sleeping when there is a harvest that needs to be gathered. And that's his call. That is a challenge of harvest to you and to me. Where God has placed us, the field that he set us in, wherever it might be, in the smallest little group or the largest civilization. Look, says Jesus. Look and come and gather in the harvest. Maybe we can look at our own lives and see what God is doing there. Because often it's through difficult times, through hard stories like Jonah's, where God shapes us and he develops a harvest within us. But maybe as we think about taking or going out to harvest the world, we might think, I can't do that. So what do? Where do we begin? Well, we begin by praying, Lord, what is my place in this mission of yours? What is my place? And he will show you. He will send you. He'll put the words in your heart and in your mouth if we ask him to. He wants you to help bring the harvest in. Open your eyes.